Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at TouringPlans.com. The folks over at TouringPlans.com have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Today, we're going to talk about a great trip down to Walt Disney World over New Year's Eve. And let me be honest with you. If you head to Walt Disney World over New Year's Eve, over this week around Christmas time, without a TouringPlans.com premium subscription, what are you doing? You need to have that information. The crowds are going to be insane. But with the knowledge that you're going to gain from TouringPlans.com, you're going to know how to steer clear of the crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible. Seriously, I've been there. I've seen a lot of attractions, even on the busiest of days down at Walt Disney World, and it works. And it's the best money you can spend on your next Disney vacation. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. And trust me on this one. You need this product. They're over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 922 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you and happy Columbus Day. And hopefully you get a little time off today, maybe to relax and enjoy some podcasts, maybe some time with friends and family. I'm in school, of course, you know, here in Missouri. Unless you're working for a bank or some, government agency, you are still working. So no big deal. We're just going to have a regular Monday. But if, as always, we have a great trip report to get you through a Monday. And we're going to do that today by heading out to Virginia and speak with Emily and Judy about a great New Year's Eve trip. So we're getting ready. I mean, I can't believe it. We're talking New Year's Eve already. So welcome to the show, Emily and Judy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Mike.
All righty. So let's talk about this trip because lots of dynamics and actually some unexpected dynamics from the note you sent me, Emily, which kind of threw a little monkey wrench into the plans, but I like it. So tell us about, you know, let's kind of lay the groundwork. Where did you guys stay? What were your travel dates and stuff like that? And then we'll dive in kind of day by day.
Okay. Well, we had decided very late in the game, as far as most Disney planning goes, to do this trip. We decided around Thanksgiving that we wanted to go down for New Year's Eve to actually see the Osborne lights, because with all the rumors and now confirmed rumors of Star Wars lands, we were pretty anxious they were going to be going away, and my husband and brother had not seen them. So we decided to take a quick economical trip, if you will, down, and we to save some money, we stayed with my aunt who lives down there. We're fortunate. I know Ricky mentions staying down with family, and so we're fortunate to have someone who lives in Orlando. So we stayed with her, and we went down on the 27th of December, and we stayed until the 2nd of January.
Yeah, interesting time, busiest week of the year.
Absolutely. Oh yes, oh yeah, oh yeah. And we knew what we were getting into, but I get time off at that time of the year. We have 2 weeks off at my work at that time of the year. And it's fairly easy for my mom to get that time off. So we thought we were just going to dive in and see what it was like. And it was an added bonus, really, to be able to do New Year's Eve, just because we had never done it before.
So. Yeah. And I can't wait to talk about that because I agree. You said, you know, you need to do it once. And we've been down there, I think, two or three different years for New Year's Eve at Epcot. It's such a special thing. But let's don't jump, you know, ahead too far. But let me ask you this, because you guys are Walt Disney World veterans. You guys travel down there, you know, a few times before. What was it like staying off-site and commuting into the theme parks rather than being an on-site guest? Because I know that, you know, there's a lot of different feelings on that. Ricky kind of plays it down, I think, because, you know, Brian, they get accommodations in hotels also many times because Brian works for, I think, the Hyatt. So they can stay like at the airport or, you know, Hyatt offsite for free, basically. So, you know, financially it makes sense for them. But what's it like when you're somebody who typically stays on site and then you don't stay on site? Maybe it was better because you're with relatives.
Well, there's advantages and disadvantages. One of the advantages is that your meals are cheaper. But other than that, but the... we've stayed with my sister before, but both Emily and I have had wonderful long trips where we've been able to stay at monorail resorts, and nothing really is as good as that. But being able to stay off, you do have the disadvantage of missing out on the extra magic hours, which we didn't really put into our plan and ended up in the Magic Kingdom one day when we found out there had been extra magic hours and found ourselves a little behind the eight ball. So that's a real disadvantage. Then also that paying for the parking is quite overwhelming.
Yeah, you don't think about that when you're somebody who stays on site all the time, because it's not like it's a $5 charge nowadays. I think it's up to 17 or 18 bucks a day now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's mighty close to 20. So
that's crazy. Can you imagine just the money they get from parking in one day? I mean, if I could just have that for like one day, I'd be set.
Absolutely. And when we start talking about the New Year's Eve, I can't even imagine how much money they collected that day.
No kidding.
That's amazing.
That's why I think that's one of the biggest disadvantages is that.
All right. So let's talk about, you guys drove down from Virginia. So we have a lot of our listeners are on the East Coast. Was it pretty uneventful coming down here? Because, I know it could be kind of dicey in late December. What would you guys see?
We thought it was going to be an okay trip. We left at about 4 a.m. We had a family gathering the day before. And then the day before that was Christmas. And we would not recommend putting that much into a couple of days because that was quite exhausting. But we ended up leaving at about 4 a.m. On the 27th. And the trip seemed to be going just fine. My mom and my husband were switching off driving. And my mom made it all the way to South Carolina and said, okay, I think I'm ready for a break. And my husband said, okay. And then it took us forever to get through South Carolina. It was like the whole state was traffic.
That's crazy. I can't imagine.
Well, and my at the end of South Carolina, we get into Georgia and it was clear. And it had put us behind schedule, and my husband was just like, yeah, not done. I'm not driving again.
You got to want to drive, I think. You're not helping my cause. I like to stay on the ground and drive. But I totally get, especially that time of year, because the whole East Coast funnels down that 95 corridor there. And, also from the Midwest, everybody comes down 75 through Georgia. And it just, especially that week, it's everybody's traveling. The roads are just gridlock. That's why I was wondering. All right, so let's talk about, get into the trip here a little bit. So you guys, you planned late in the game, and you said that, this is one of those things that, around Thanksgiving, you said, we got to get down there, see the Osborne lights, take advantage of this time, about a month out. But you said, in the email, it was kind of advantageous and, kind of working against you at the same time. So kind of, share with our listeners how you think planning this late in the game can actually be an advantage in a way.
Well, some of the advantages of planning late in the game is really helps you to just relax and go with the flow. And because we're Disney veterans, we've been there many times before and had both been there not pretty recently, there was nothing that we had that was a must see. So we were able to really relax, just enjoy the time of year, see what was going on and enjoy the decorations and show off for the guys who had never been there for the Christmas holidays exactly what were our favorite things.
It was good to have low expectations too. I think because we chose so late in the game to schedule this trip, we knew we probably weren't going to meet Anna and Elsa. We knew we might not be getting on Soarin' anytime soon. And I think we just went in with this just very low, I don't want to say low expectation, not like it was negative, but just like, we'll see what we see. And it was one of the most relaxing trips I've ever had, which sounds really silly considering how many stinking people are down there at that time. But it was very relaxing because we weren't worried about making an ADR. We weren't worried that we weren't going to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We were just like, we'll get there when we get there. And we'll do what doesn't have a line.
And I hear what you're saying because I think that week is a great time to go in with that kind of a mindset because, it is crazy and the lines get very long, but also working to your advantage is that you have so many things that can be seen without a queue. You can visit resorts and check out the Christmas decorations or, hop over to the Grand Floridian and see the gingerbread house and get some gingerbread or walk, you know, catch a boat over to the Wilderness Lodge and hang out by the fireplace and see the beautiful Christmas tree and, you know, walk up and down Main Street and check out those decorations. And it's great, people. I mean, this is the best week for people watching ever in the history of the world. So, you know, I think that you're right. I mean, you know, hey, you squeeze in a ride when you see it's available and don't stress about it. I think if you go in trying to think you're going to conquer the world during this week, that's really where you get yourself kind of in a pickle, don't you think?
I think that's absolutely true. And our one single goal was to get the guys to see the Osborne lights and to see the decorations in the resorts. And that was easy to do because there's not a queue for that.
Right, right. Exactly. And it definitely, we did spend one of our days down there just seeing the resorts and stuff. And that was one of the most relaxing days we had, definitely. So.
All right. Well, you know, also let me throw this in there, Emily, because, you know, you said you had a wild card, a few wild cards, you know, planning late in the games, one of them that we talked about, but also you found out that you were expecting before the trip. So that kind of, you know, it definitely makes the vacation just a little bit better, I would imagine, or better, but also different, I would imagine.
Right. Well, we did. We originally planned this trip to go see the lights, but then I found out I was going to have a baby, and we found out a couple weeks after we decided to take this trip, and I thought, oh, well, this will be nice. It'll be a trip, you know, with just, you know, just Chris and I before we have the baby. And it was enjoyable, but everything that you read about traveling while pregnant will tell you do not travel your first trimester. Because I was about 8 weeks pregnant when we went down there, and I will tell you that it's probably good advice because it's not that you're uncomfortable, but you're just exhausted. You know, your body's adjusting to doing this new thing. You're starving.
Yeah. You're never seen her eat as much as she ate. Well, that's one of the good things about Disney because there's sure plenty to choose from.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you have all those Christmas snacks and so forth. Yeah, you should see me after the marathon. Heads up. You know, I wanted to eat everything in Electric Umbrella, and I'm not even a fan of Electric Umbrella, but it was closest to the finish line. So yeah, go ahead.
No, that's exact. We actually ate at Electric Umbrella one night. So yeah, it was, but it was exciting because I figured out that you can just nap pretty much anywhere in Disney if you need to. And so, and a lot of times it does limit what you can ride a little bit. I think the most surprising one was I couldn't ride Kilimanjaro Safaris because of all the bouncing and everything. And that was a little disappointing. But I found lots of really wonderful places to sit and rest. And you talked about people watching. I mean, that definitely was something I got to do. But it was exciting and emotional knowing that, you know, we were carrying the baby with us. And I even had a button. I got one of the first visit buttons, and I put it on my belly while we were walking around.
I saw that you put that as a tip. And I was like, wait, did I read that right? But I mean, that's a genius idea. I love it.
Well, I've been telling her she's already been to Disney World.
That's right. So. You don't need to go. You've been there already. No, that's awesome. Yeah, so, you know, I'm worried that I'm pregnant because when I go down, I eat everything in sight, and I can take a nap anywhere. You know, I go into PhilharMagic, and I'm out like a light before the show even starts, so I better check. Something's wrong with me.
You might want to just get checked just in case.
That's exactly it. I don't know what's going on. So let's talk about, you know, you mentioned, like, you couldn't do Kilimanjaro Safaris because you got to be cognizant of things like that, you know, taking care of yourself when you are expecting. Now, I remember my wife, you know, we went down, and she was... It was in June, and Mallory was born in January, so, you know, not too far along, but we have a Jeep Wrangler, so it's really no different than Kilimanjaro Safaris than just driving around town here. That thing's so rough, but it forced us, like you said. She was very exhausted, very tired, and didn't, you know, just eating, like, she wouldn't eat normal things, you know, like, she'd want something, and then she wouldn't, you know, like, we'd get dinner, and it wouldn't, you know, look appetizing. So it was a different trip, but I remember that we slowed down so much that it was one of the most enjoyable trips because there were so many times where, like you said, we sat on a bench and just talked and took in the scenery and watched the people, and, you know, watched a lot of live entertainment, and it was super enjoyable.
Well, talking about needing to eat something special, there was one day in Animal Kingdom that Emily just decided she had to have fruit. And we were lucky enough that we were able to find a kiosk with pineapple, and that made her happy, so...
Pineapple's good all the time.
Anything for my grandbabies.
That's it. All right, so let's talk about New Year's Eve. So you guys mentioned one of the things you put like in all caps, and I totally agree with you. And folks that have never been down over this week, Disney does the New Year's Eve fireworks on the 30th and the 31st at the Magic Kingdom. So my advice, and we've said this on the show many times, go to the Magic Kingdom on the 30th, go to Epcot on the 31st. Epcot tends to handle the crowds much, much better than the Magic Kingdom. And I like Illuminations the most. So what were your feelings on that? You know, because you mentioned, you know, you avoid the Magic Kingdom, go to Epcot. So why do you say that?
We originally were going to go to the Magic Kingdom because we were going to be in Epcot on the 30th for the Candlelight Processional. But a cast member at the Boardwalk, I believe, was like, no, don't go to the Magic Kingdom. And I was like, oh, we can handle it. I know it's going to be busy. And she's like, don't go to the Magic Kingdom. So we heeded her advice, God bless her, and we went to Epcot. And on our way there, the traffic to Magic Kingdom was backed up all the way to the Epcot exit ramp. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, thank goodness we did not go to Magic Kingdom, because I don't think Epcot closed for capacity that day, but I got a notification on my phone that Magic Kingdom was closed by 10:30 or something like that. And it does handle, there's just more places for the people to go, I think.
It's a nut house there. Don't get me wrong on New Year's Eve, because you'll see, I'm not trying to give anybody like a false sense of, oh man, you're going to have elbow room. You don't. There's people camping out on the grass. And I mean, I remember on New Year's Eve, I ate it because I was just hungry, and it was like 7 o'clock. We're waiting for Illuminations. And I think I ate it. What's the name of the counter service in China? Just because it had the shortest line.
Blossom.
Lotus Blossom. I just need some rice. Like, I don't care. Rice and, you know, like some chicken fried rice or something. Whatever. But it had the, you know, shortest line that I could find. It was still like 50 people deep. So it's still a challenge, but you can still make it happen, because you got such a, you know, around World Showcase Lagoon, you have more places to be accessible to the show, where, you know, the Magic Kingdom, you really kind of have to be either on Main Street or the Hub, or, you know, maybe back in Fantasyland. It's just, it's way more, yeah, you know, it's a lot tighter.
Absolutely. Just to give the folks who have never been there for New Year's Eve a little perspective on how crowded it is, Soaring had a wait time of 360 minutes.
Yes. And the people that are getting in line when it is at 360 minutes, like, what are you thinking? Like, you're getting in that at 6 o'clock in the evening. And you're
exactly
expected to be on that thing when the new year comes in. I mean, you know, I know that it's a great ride. It's a neat attraction. But 6 hours on New Year's Eve, are you really going to do that? But I guess people
exactly
do hop in. I don't know.
We kept asking, why are people still getting in that
line?
That's
it. I'm like, do you not
see
that?
And they were handing out potty passes. So in case you
no
had to
way
leave, they were handing out potty passes to the people who were staying in line. Would match up the two sides of the pass.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no thanks. I do like that attraction. But,
I love it. It's one of my favorite, but not 360 minutes.
Right,
man.
Exactly.
So, would you guys, what did the guys think about all this? Because you mentioned you wanted them to see the Osborne lights, the resorts at Christmas time. What were their thoughts? I mean, were they being nice and kind of, you know, like, oh, this is really cool? Or do you think, you know, they're like, this was definitely worth making the effort to get down here?
Well, my son is 17 years old, and sometimes he's not a particularly emotional person, but he thanked us over and over again for making this trip. And he just stood, and he must have taken hundreds of pictures at Osborne Lights, and still stopped everywhere in every resort and took pictures too. So that says a lot to me that he thought it was really special.
And my husband, when they announced that this will be the last year for Osborne Lights, my husband was like, I'm so grateful I got to see it. Because he said if there's anything he'd recommend for people to do down there during Christmas, it's the lights. And we were really just, I'm glad we got to see them before they're gone. But he's definitely really thankful he got to see it. And they added that some of the Nightmare Before Christmas music last year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And we loved seeing that. And my brother really likes Nightmare Before Christmas, so he was so excited.
Jackson's favorite.
He was so excited to see that too. So they were very appreciative. Although on New Year's Eve, when we were walking through all those crowds in the Japan Pavilion, I think they both were kind of tapped out.
Like, the whole world is in this theme park right now. I mean, that's how it feels, honestly. I mean, it's really, like, you know, it's one of those things you, and this is how I see it. You know, on New Year's Eve, you're kind of, because we got there, I think, around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and kind of just, you can't do much that day because it's so crowded. You just kind of people watch and, you know, do World Showcase the best you can. But, you know, when it got to be like 7 or 8, you know, and 9, and you're just kind of surviving until the fireworks. But then once the fireworks start, it's incredible. Like, you're on an adrenaline rush. But it's almost like one of those things you have to kind of pace yourself to get there. I mean, did you guys feel that same way?
Absolutely. I think we got there too early, to be honest. We got there at about 10 a.m. And you're absolutely right. It was about 7 or 8. We were just like, maybe we should just go home.
No, you can't bail at that point. No.
I know. No turning back. But then it turned into... should we wait? Should we just sit here for fireworks? Should we just ride? What are we going to do?
Because nothing was available. The queues were horrible for everything.
That's true. I mean, you'll see people, because back then Interventions was, you know, open, and there's, you know, some open space. They used to have the Segway rides. I mean, people are just flat out, just like laid out taking naps. I mean, they're out. Exactly. I mean, it's the craziest thing you'll ever see.
It is. There's just so many. We did eventually decide. We did some attractions around 10 p.m. and that kind of stuff, and we did
Spaceship Earth around 10.
Right.
And that was still a 45-minute wait or something.
But we were walking around kind of doubting ourselves and whether we wanted to hold out, and then they put the countdown clock on Spaceship Earth, which is so cool. They got the countdown till the new year. And we were like, no, we've got to stay. We've made it this far.
We got this now.
So, and we did.
We watched the early showing of Illuminations. There was a real nice family that had staked out a spot right at the fence. And we started chatting with them. And they just let us join right in on. And we were right there at the rail to watch the show right around 6 or 7 o'clock.
It was the 6 o'clock show. Which has the holiday tag, which was awesome. Really nice. Yeah. And then for as far as the late show, we just kind of around. And because we had already seen Illuminations earlier that day, we wandered around. And when they started shooting off the fireworks to celebrate all the other countries that had already celebrated the New Year, we just stopped. And you're right. There's so many places to be able to see them in Epcot. That was another real advantage of going to Epcot. You can kind of see them from anywhere. So you don't need to worry too much about getting a spot, especially if you know what, you know, if you've seen Illuminations. But it's just, I've never seen so many fireworks in my life. They were the most beautiful thing.
Oh, the ground shakes. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. It's hard to even put into words. Like, I videotaped it, and still, like, on my video from my iPhone, it's just, you can almost, like, feel the concussions in your chest as fireworks are going off.
Mm-hmm. And we stood in that bridge right down the center between Spaceship Earth and World Showcase. And we had a fabulous view of all the different countries and could hear. I mean, they have great sound system, could hear everything. We couldn't see the globe, but the globe looks like.
Nobody looks at it anyway. You know, everybody just checks their phone when that part goes on Illumination.
And it actually worked to our advantage because as soon as the fireworks were over, we were close to the exit.
And that's where I wanted to go next, because you guys were staying off-site. And I will tell you what, it doesn't matter. Off-site, on-site, if you wait this out and you get the, you know, you're like, yes, Illuminations was awesome. The ground shook. I've seen more fireworks in 5 minutes than I've seen in 5 years.
Absolutely.
But then 70 million people are leaving at the same time. And it's like, I mean, you know, it's midnight and you're like, man, the sun's going to come up before I get back to Pop Century if you're staying on site. You know, and you guys had to drive out. So what's it like at Walt Disney on New Year's Eve evening?
Well, I'll tell you, we were, like my mom said, we were super fortunate we were so close to the exit, because we were overwhelmed by the fireworks. We were over and we kiss everybody. And then my husband's like, let's go. And my husband, he's tall, he's the best, you know, he's a little more than 6 feet tall. And he just starts, I always call it his work walk, like he's got purpose. And he just starts booking it toward the car. And we managed to get out of there before most people. And it only took about 15 minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. So all these horror stories we just did not experience.
I think we were home and in bed by 1:15.
Are you kidding me? I've heard stories of people not even leaving the lot morning.
See, what you got to do is you got to train for it like it's a marathon and then just run as fast as you can.
Oh, that is so funny. Griswold at the Grand Canyon. Let's go. Let's get out of here. See all these crazy people? We're getting in front of them.
Check.
That's exactly.
We saw it. Check. I know. Let's go.
We were all so tired at that point, too. We were just like, go, go, go. I will tell you, it's a nightmare. You got to be cutthroat in that parking lot, though.
Yes.
No one's letting you out.
Or you got to hope you're not behind Mr. Nice Guy there that's letting 18,000 cars. Because, it's probably the worst of humanity, I'm sure, in that parking lot come 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's you see the ugly side of people, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think Will would have been perfectly happy to stay a little bit longer. That's our 17-year-old. But we were all done.
Yeah, we were definitely tapped out. I had taken naps in the test track exit area and American Adventure. And I was ready for real sleep, though.
Oh, you slept at France?
I slept in France, too, right? Leaned up against a wall.
I've actually slept there, too, one time during Food and Wine. It was super hot. We were having a meet right before that. Caught a quick 15 minutes right there outside of Impressions de France. It was air conditioned. It was awesome. So
that's exactly where I took my nap. Nice lighting for a nap and air conditioning. That's all you need.
It's a great place. All right. So now after all this, you guys, man, I'm still jealous. Like, I know that I've not gotten back to my hotel on site till like 2:30 or 3. So I'm still like blown away by this. And I'm sure our listeners are. But the next day you guys came back and did Animal Kingdom on New Year's Day. So how did that work out for you?
Animal Kingdom, it was wonderful. One of the things we didn't mention about New Year's Eve is we had this change in temperature. And so Animal Kingdom was a little bit cooler. It was not Animal Kingdom hot, like everybody talks about. So we were a little cooler that day. And it was not really very crowded. I think it's one of those parks that people didn't think about. Or maybe they were all still sleeping in from New Year's Eve.
They were still in the parking lot at Epcot. Are you kidding me?
That's exactly right. Well, I think we decided to go to Animal Kingdom. That day, my aunt was off, and that's her favorite park to go to. So she was like, well, let's go to Animal Kingdom. And it's so nice to be there when it's cool because there's so many, the animals are so sociable at that point. But it really, it felt like a day in the fall. There was just not that many people there. It was really relaxed. And after such a busy day at Epcot the day before, it was like a nice cool drink of water, you know.
Like, this
was really pleasant.
Yeah, got a little elbow room. I can actually breathe. Yeah, it's kind of washes that New Year's Eve kind of stench off you, I think.
That's exactly right.
And with her being a local, she gets over to Animal Kingdom a lot, so she was able to show us some of talk to us about the gorillas that are over there and give us little hints. She's almost like having a little personal tour guide.
That's good to hear. That's awesome. And, you know, spending time with, family members that you don't see that often, especially when you can do that at a place like a Disney park, that's kind of like the cherry on top of the cake there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as we wrap this up, let me ask you this, because I'm kind of curious about this. You know, a lot of people in the last couple of weeks since the announcement that the Osborne lights are going away after this year are, kind of scrambling. And it's almost they're in the same situation that you guys were last year, where they're thinking, I got to get down there and see them one more time. Or if I've never seen them, I got to see them before they go away. And obviously we're late in the game here. We're in mid-October. It worked out for you guys. But what would you offer anybody who's saying, I got to get down there and, I should have booked this trip 6 months ago. I didn't know. What can you tell them that might help them put their mind at ease? I can still pull this off.
I think the first thing is to adjust your expectations, that if the lights are your focus, see the lights. The other thing that we learned was that if you get in the parks early in the morning, use that opportunity to get in the lines that you know are going to be long for the things you want to see. But use your fast passes for afternoons when the parks get busier.
Good idea. Good idea. So, Emily, you have any tips, though, for folks late in the game, too, to throw in there?
I think the best advice is to just really think about as many people as you can in your personal space, then times it by two, and you might be a little bit ready. But it is, I think the most important thing I would tell people is just do it. Just do it. It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. It was so invigorating and energetic. And there's sometimes you feel, you know, frustrated being in the crowds and stuff, but you got to remember that you're in Disney World. And is there any better place to? It was so invigorating being there for the new year. I'm so glad we did it because I knew, and especially because I was, you know, I was 8 weeks pregnant. I knew this was not something I was going to be able to do for a while because, you know, having a little one, she's not going to be able to handle that. I definitely think you need to just go for it and just kind of, what do they say? Yeah, throw caution to the wind.
That's it. You know, but I think I'm glad you're saying that, though, because I know, like, I talk to a lot of listeners on social media and, you know, so I can just feel the angst with some people. Like, you know, I've never seen the Osborne Lights. This is definitely the last chance I'm going to get to see them. And they're, you know, they're just kind of torn up because they think it's too late. You know, like, you know, if I was going to do this, I had to have my ADR 6 months out and da, da, da. You know, but I mean, there's a way. Maybe it's not your typical week-long summer vacation that you plan out, right, you know, 18 months in advance, but it can be done. And I'll tell you what, I've gone down last minute as well. And you're exactly right in that, you know, just doing counter service for a weekend or for 4 or 5 days and having the flexibility, it's amazing because it almost gives you some freedom that you don't get when you plan out, you know, a year in advance.
That's absolutely true. We only had one ADR, was the candlelight processional meal that we had. Everything else was counter service. And we did great. We didn't have a problem with that. The other thing is that you can go see the lights and then leave the studios. There's so much else to do and see down there. You don't have to stay in the crowds. You can go to the other parks. You can go to the resorts. And there's so much to see in the resorts.
That sounds great. And it's a great way to start a Monday. So, Judy and Emily, I appreciate your time. And, you know, you're making me want to go down, but I'm going for marathon weekend, so I can't pull the trigger. You know, I'm going down for Wine and Dine here very soon next month. So I'll get to see the lights one last time as we run through the studios. And I'm sure that it's going to kill my time because I'm going to have to stop and, you know, take selfies with all the lights and all that. But totally worth it. And it's been a lot of fun thinking about, you know, what's going to be coming up here in the next couple of months. Now, before we get out of here today, Emily, I know your dad does a podcast. This is why it sounds so great today, because you're actually in a podcast studio. I love it. So I think a lot of our listeners would like to check out his show. So could you tell them where they can find that and what it's all about?
Sure. My dad and my husband actually do a podcast. It's called Comic Generations, Inc. And that's Inc. I-N-K, a little pun there, I guess. And they talk about the comic books that come out, as well as the Marvel and DC universes, cinematic universes, and their television shows. And they give a good perspective because my dad grew up in the 60s and kind of that golden and silver age of comics. And my husband didn't really get into them until later in life. So they've got these two really good perspectives of where the timelines are going and their opinions. And it's fun to hear them bicker.
That's awesome.
They like to bicker about things. So, but it's available on iTunes, Comic Generations Inc.
That'd be funny. I just can't imagine myself doing a podcast with my father-in-law. That'd be a heck of a podcast.
They're best friends. I think he likes me better. I think he married me for my dad.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a lot of fun, and you know, good luck with everything that's coming up, and we'll have to do it again after your next trip.
Great. That sounds great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All righty. Don't forget, like we said at the top of the show, if you're going to Walt Disney World during this week, you got to have a premium subscription to touringplans.com. I mean, if you're going down there without this, you're kind of tying one hand behind your back, because if you want to see attractions, this gives you the information you need to know when the fast passes are running out. You know, the optimal way to see those attractions that are out there, even on the busiest of days. And they're going to take care of your vacation planning right there for Walt Disney World and Disneyland any day of the year. So check them out today. They're going to help you have a great Disney vacation. They're over at touringplans.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're right there at magicalmouseradio.com. And the next Be Our Guest podcast live show comes your way this Sunday, October 18th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. You can call in and be a part of the show live right there at magicalmouseradio.com this Sunday night. And give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, you can always grab the show on iTunes. You can subscribe there, and we appreciate that so much. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Smart Radio and TuneIn Radio, both free apps for iOS and Android devices, and a great way to take the show with you wherever you go. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thanks so much for checking in, dropping by, and listening to the show. Please do spread the word about the podcast wherever you go, because we love finding new listeners and having them join the family here with the Be Our Guest podcast. So for Judy and Emily, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.